So that covers the content of the last two sessions scheduled for today. So I will again open it up for questions and comments in relation to both other matters and in relation to neutrality.
Andreas is getting excited.
Thanks for allowing me to get excited. I will start with the last point and make my way back to the front. Starting, and I'm really in the appendix and looking at the wording there. In A17, having listened to what Larissa said before about the trend information and what we just explained, I think you ought to be looking into a more careful wording, I'd suggest. And the reason for that is that the German Standard Setter, when putting out their respective guidance on management commentary, really burnt their fingers when it came to prognosis information, so looking into the future. So what if you said you want to look out for 5 years and you are seeing a trend emerging 2 years back, now the current year, and you're establishing a forward-looking view? Are you really saying we now have to give prospective information for the next 2 years in order to establish a trend? And I think as soon as we start out there, I would expect that we were seeing quite a lot of pushback.
Okay, just to be clear, we're talking about historical information here.
And I think that ought to be fleshed out a bit clearer, I think, because that's information and it's there. That's what I thought, but I think if it just be made explicit, that would certainly help. Then one paragraph on top of that, in A16, I have a significant concern with the second sentence. And that comes straight back to my overarching theme, through the eyes of management and from the perspective of the users. So I think management commentary ought to portray the situation, the description of the business and the business model and all the things that relate to it, through the eyes of management. If so, why am I now to justify that the market is doing something different? Either I believe that I've deliberately chosen a different route because it makes sense from my perspective, so why do I have to justify that? I would agree that if it comes into the area of obscuring something and I'm trying to make up something and say I'm different where I'm clearly not different, then I would agree. But if I'd chosen a different route, I think it brings into some pseudo-comparability that really is of no use because the data to be provided is not used internally in the company. And I would doubt that that is actually of any use to any external user. On A11, other matters, aggregation, I note that in your example you are actually not talking about aggregation but disaggregation. So you're making a case, if I just look at the last sentence, where this is the case, the information should be presented on a more granular basis. But that's not aggregation, it's disaggregation, right? So it's not pulling together different pieces, but it's actually making it more granular.
Yes.
So I think then it should be labeled really disaggregation and not aggregation. On the two points, on the points of neutrality in A10, I have two remarks. The first one relates to prominence, obscurity, and omission of matters. That triggered a bell because the board is, I think, to finalize the amendments to a definition of material where these wording is actually used. Yet the header here where it comes from is neutrality, not materiality. So I wonder whether there is a link missing to materiality. And the other comment that I would have, and that's really my last one, is 10D, the range of potential outcomes discussed. Here I'm wondering whether we are talking about bias or whether we are talking about areas of uncertainty. and if it is the latter, so I'm describing something where clearly I don't know where we are heading towards, and therefore I present numerous cases, would that not be better dealt with in a similar way as we do it in the financial statements, where we address areas of major uncertainty rather than keeping that under the neutrality section?
So just to sort of clarify on that then, so you have the potential for a discussion in management commentary that covers in some detail a number of different scenarios. And it, you know, if you think particularly around the sort of some of the things TCFD are asking in respect of climate change. So your feeling is that the approach in the financial statements would address that type of range of scenarios selected?
No. I think it's a different... The question is, I wasn't sure what we mean by range of potential outcomes discussed. So it could be that... Take the TCFD disclosures where the task force is talking about some sort of scenario analysis, and you would probably say best case, worst case, business case, something like that. And if these three scenarios are far apart, then I would just say, okay, they are far apart. Why would I make them any narrower or any wider than that? I mean, this just shows the range, but it also gives my expectation because I'm providing a business case to it. That would be contrasted to a situation where I clearly don't know where we might be heading. So it really addresses uncertainty per se. And I'm now being asked to actually produce some narratives about a range of potential outcomes. And in this case, I don't think that this really should come under neutrality, because it's really addressing uncertainty per se, right?
Okay, sorry, I understand now.
Liliana.
Thank you. I completely agree with you, Andreas, and I will put, relating to the range of potential outcomes discussed, a conditional, if they are presented. Because as it is worth, you say that you need to do always a range of potential outcome. I will put, and if there is a potential outcome discussed, then.
Good point, and that is what was intended. But you're right; it's not there.
Okay. The point of comparability, I completely agree also with Andreas, and I will add only that the information commonly provided by other entities or peers, we have some issues relating to that, besides what you commented. There are legal issues also. I don't know if I can comment on what is doing my competitors, and if I want to comment on that, I need to comment what are their accounting gaps, because we are talking about financial information still. So I need to describe their accounting gaps, their business model in comparison to my business model. I don't know. I don't know how I can describe why the manager choose one thing or another thing. And there is also a matter of culture, which is very important on that. So I don't see strongly against a comparison with my peers in the public. I think it's a matter of investors, not of proper preparers to do that. I may answer questions, or I may be more precise in describing my situation and why I took one decision or not or the other, but I don't see how I can do what is put in A16 when the situations are not only the business may be the same, but the situations are completely different, not only the business model. For instance, my our grand competitors are doing a merger right now. How I can compare myself with them? they are experiencing a thing that is completely different to us. So I really against that. And again, the trend, I agree with you, you need to put something relating to the historical informations that could provide a trend.
Just that earlier point about the peers, what we're seeking to do here, and I think we need to be a bit clearer, is address a case where you're providing a measure which is different to a common industry definition, and you're doing that because it's right for the circumstances of your entity, that might be misinterpreted if it were left without explanation.
I don't see the case. We are in a industry where we have not too much competitors, and we are know very well what they are doing. We believe that we know. It's a little bit different, and the measurement is different. Even the accounting is different. Two of them are in the States. Two of them is here in Europe. Even the P&L is presented differently. Three of them is presenting the P&L by function. One is presented by nature. So I think even there, why they are choosing to present by function and we are presented by nature, it is a possibility. We think that it's better to explain the things like this. And if we are starting to say we think that it's better, we are not providing a meaningful information.
Okay. So we're trying to get at things such as sales per square foot. And, you know, to the extent that there are industry definitions of what that means, or, for example, in relation to the extractives, cost per ounce, these types of measures that... where there are common definitions, but they're not universal definitions. So I think clearly that's not coming across here.
Okay.
Mark? Or were you done, Lillian?
Yeah. Thank you.
Mark?
Yeah, I had two comments. And maybe, Matt, if I missed something, because I just was out of the room for 1 second, but on the neutrality point, you list there, I think, what other standards have done, including the UK with fair, balanced, and understandable, in terms of an overall principle. I did not actually see in your draft at the moment that such a principle was coming back as a principle. I think it's more in a descriptive way describing the principle of to have a balanced presentation. I wondered, and maybe drawing on the UK experience, whether it would actually be helpful to have a principle like that, also in emphasizing kind of the responsibility of those charged with governance. So I could see some merit in it, but I don't know. I mean, it was a question.
No, I think it is. It's potentially relevant. I mean, the other observation I'd make is that clearly in the UK you have a director's sign-off on fair, balanced, understandable as well, which sort of takes the concept a stage further.
So you think it would not be possible internationally, is what you say?
I think it would be harder.
I mean, we already have concept of neutrality in the conceptual framework, so I think the overall idea is, and you're right, it's not coming through very explicitly, but the idea is to take the principle from the conceptual framework and to sort of incorporate it in the practice statement, but with providing additional application guidance to help specifically with management commentaries. Okay. But yes, we will.
Okay, so I make the point in the other one that I picked up is in other matters. I think there's a reference to a paragraph from the German guidance on GASP 20, paragraph 15, which said that that you also include in the management commentary still other information, even if it has already been covered elsewhere in press releases or capital markets days information or whatever. And I think that's, for me, actually a very important one, because I think you want to get that information also formally into the reporting model. Because I think that's part of the problem now, that is all very unstructured. And again, I don't know whether that's already, you know, sufficiently covered in how you have drafted it.
Alessandro, oh, sorry. Yeah.
So I was just going to say, your feeling is that what we've drafted is too soft in that respect.
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
I'll give you that as an observation.
Yeah.
Alessandro.
Thank you. Just one comment on the different facets of this concept of neutrality. I think the ones you have identified in slide 17 cover pretty much all the facets that could be attributed to neutrality. And I think in the, at least in the European context, we have this notion of the fair review of the business. And I think the fairness involves a number of aspects that are referred to here. So I think that that is pretty consistent and comprehensive. I think one thing that would be useful, I haven't seen that necessarily in the draft, is to make sure that when there is a benchmark that is referred to, so if a measure is presented and is, there is a benchmark available, that benchmark should always be referred to in order to enable users to make sensible comparisons.
Sorry, can I just clarify what you're meaning by benchmark there?
So if there is, if I'm presenting a quantitative measure and there is an acknowledged, widely industry acknowledged measure for that specific indicator, it would be helpful to see how you compare to that widely accepted indicator. But more in general, I think there is, perhaps there will be a future discussion on performance measures again, or KPIs, because I agree that neutrality and the other principles create the basis for having fair presentation of KPIs, but then I think there should be a chapter dealing with fair presentation of KPIs and performance measures in general. So I don't know if you're planning this for future discussion. Or...
Yes, so I think that will be a key part of the discussion when we get to the third round of discussion. And you know, there are things perhaps we can do in relation to different types of information and the applicability of neutrality and other concepts to that, without needing to go into the detail of specific subject matter disclosures. But that's what we'll attempt to do at stream three.
Thank you.
Michael?
Yeah. On assumed knowledge, you know, I think it's we're putting the blinders on, and the real world doesn't work in that way. And I guess I think of it as, you know, this document assumes you're at point zero and you don't have access to any other information except you're a reasonable business person and you understand economics. Well, if you do, then you have access to the internet and you have access to everything in the investor relations website, which is a tremendous amount of information. And thinking about reporting frequency. So, you know, there are certain things that we've talked about today, like purpose and value creation and business models. Those things don't change from year to year. I mean, you might have a new business, fine. You might actually do a different strategy, but those things don't change from year to year. I mean, he's probably got a good 5-year block. And, you know, you really need to repeat that in every report. The answer is no. If you've got that on a website, then someone can look at that and they get it. And then...
Sorry, can I just
go ahead.
Clarify on that? Is your concern that there is a cost to repeating the description of the business model annually?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's identical.
There is a cost. I mean, every page that you print, there's a cost. And, you know, every page of paper translates into a carbon emission or a greenhouse gas emission. There is a cost. Or, you know, these poor UK postmen that had to carry around the HSBC annual report, right? That is real. You know, I'd say the same thing about the summary of significant accounting policies. You know, why does that really need to be repeated in every report? It could be on the website, and you would simply focus on the changes that occur from period to period if you've had a voluntary change or a required change. So, you know, ideally, management commentary probably operates in stratified layers where, it, you know, value, purpose, that stuff, you can go to one spot. Whereas short-term quarterly performance reporting, earnings release, where management's going to say, let us give you our view on what happened over the past 3 months, and maybe we'll give you a little view about what we think is going to happen over the next 3 months or possibly the next year. And I think that needs to be cohesive in the sense that management commentary should think about, yeah, there are these other sources of information, and we expect management to make statements that are consistent across all those other pieces, which you, this is exactly what you're saying, and I think that that's important. But I guess it's just this point zero. It's this idea that no one has any of this information, and hence we're just going to put it in this big document.
So point zero.
And we're going to repeat it every year. I think it's just, it's an antiquated notion. It comes from a time when there was no internet, and we didn't, and you had to like send a letter to investor relations to actually get an annual report, a hard copy. And you maybe didn't have access to analyst reports, which now when I go onto my online broker account, I get gobs of those things. I've got them all. I think we need to think differently about this.
But unfortunately, the securities laws don't think like that. The securities laws don't say if you go to the website, it's furnished, not filed. They don't say it's filed if it's on your website.
Well, I mean, I think we can, we've got securities regulators, IOSCO. I mean, we've got them in the room, and this is what we need to start thinking about. And I thought, I was encouraged by the little baby step that the SEC took where it said, hey, we're going to not make you report highs and lows of your stock prices. I mean, it's tremendous. It's probably not even a baby step, but it's something because it recognizes that, hey, you can get that stuff elsewhere.
Yeah, I view that sort of differently in that the world has completely moved on. But, you know, furnished versus filed and going to websites and stuff like that, it's just, how do you know, I'm going to say it's changed and then I have to go back and look at, I mean, links and things like that to other filed documents. I'm more in love with that idea. But I personally, while investors go to websites, they mostly go to Bloomberg and S&P Capital IQ, and you know, you go to Idacity and CalcBench. They're not going through the website like that. In Europe, they are more than in the U.S.
But what's your point then in terms of the annual report? Are you saying, no, you just have to throw everything in because no one is?
My point is that to expect investors to go to the website, know it's changed or whatever, you're going to have to change securities laws to make that happen.
Michael, there's also, I think there's an assurance aspect to it as well,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yes, whatever you post, it's anyone's guess whether something is assured, yes or no. Whereas if you put it in the model, you know that, you know, there is a certain level of assurance. I mean, you would assume that comes clarified.
Yeah, and Mike,
so,
yeah,
I mean, these all these things would have that to change, you will need right? To think through.
Right, let me just... I think the annual reports to the management commentary can be part of something on which we can give a visa if there is a prospectus or these sort of things. And if it's on a website, it can be changed. Nobody knows. Whereas if it's sort of stamped by the regulator, everybody knows if the analysis is changed afterwards. So after, I do agree that we should try to think of it and that we should discuss how we do now with all this IT stuff new and with the fact that people look at the information differently. But after, yes, there are some regulatory constraints that we cannot change at that time. And, yeah, for a question of audit, a question of visa from the different regulator and insurance.
Rodrigo. First, with respect to neutrality, I got a couple of comments. The first of them about prominence. I believe that should be some wording with respect to timing as well. The discussion we had earlier about some kind of future issue that management thinks is going to resolve. I think there should be some, even if some soft guidance about prominence with respect to short-termism and I mean, not hard language, but at least some soft language about prominence with respect to timing.
Sorry, can I just sort of build on that slightly more? So you're saying in relation to neutrality,
yes,
that the language should address time frames.
Some part of it, because as we thought earlier, if you actually want to provide something that is balanced, you may be hiding something that is negative, but you do think that is going to be resolved over time.
So okay. Yes.
That's where I'm coming from.
Good point.
There's also something that the Brazilian Securities Exchange Commission has recommended, and I'm not suggesting the same, but they recommended something about similar to a statement of compliance with respect to materiality. Management should actually state that the information that is provided in the financial statements is the material information. We're not burying relevant information under irrelevant. I'm not suggesting the same kind of thing, but I think that some words in that sense should be reasonable, I mean, coming from the practice statement as well. The next comment I have is about aggregation. I mentioned this before, the risk of aggregation impacting neutrality in terms of balance, aggregating positive and negative news to present a net impact on something that should be presented positive and negative and not net impact. With respect to assumed knowledge, I have just one small comment to comply with the conceptual framework. I believe there should be some wording about diligence in terms of reviewing and analyzing information by the user as well. And I should, I think it's a good place to mention that the user should review management commentary and the financial statements as well, not just management commentary. And I think here should be a good place to state that. Also, about the industry measures, I definitely agree with that discussion. I think that we should be very careful with this reconciliation discussion because we have different business models even within the same industry. You have KPIs that you're not publishing because you don't think they make sense when you compare to your peers, and it's not because of selective disclosure, but it's actually a management. I think someone said, I think it was Lidiana, that you should be clear about how you came to your decisions in terms of disclosure. I agree with that. And I would also I'd like to mention that I talked before about explaining your thought process to go through the four-step materiality. I think here should be also something that could be helpful. To have your thought process with respect to materiality explained somehow by management. Finally, I'm worried also about A17. I believe there's a risk here to be inconsistent with IAS 36. When you say that 3 to 5 years is good for management commentary, but it's not good for impairment tests, and I think there should, I would be careful about timing here, and incorporating the historical figures would be more consistent with IAS 36 as well. And finally, I don't know if Ben is going to go back on that, but verifiability, I think it's one of the other matters that should be included as well.
Marek.
Thank you. I wanted to make a few comments on A10, if I may. The first one is that if I look at A, there's a statement there that the entity considers whether management commentary as a whole presents a balanced view of, and then it lists a series of items. I would have thought that, well, I haven't seen that language used in things like the objective and so on. I can understand where some of those terms are really important. But I'm wondering if they're complete and whether we've really thought about that connectivity with the objective fully. So just some further thought, because effectively it should present a balanced view of what the report is supposed to be providing. If you think of it in terms of financial statements, it's the equivalent term to something like financial position and performance. So just some thought maybe about what that should say and how that's connected would be helpful. But the second point is I thought that what's in B is really dealing with an aspect of what's in A, and I just wondered if they needed to be completely separate. They're both trying to look at the overall report, I think. That's the way I've understood it anyway. Whereas C is different and really looks at individual matters. And then the other point that I wanted to pick up is the use of the word unjustified in C. I think unjustified, to me at least, means something more like unfair. So the inverse of it is fair, if you come back to it that way. But that's not used in A or B. And so I don't know whether it's an important point you were trying to draw out only in relation to items at the meta level. Yeah. But I'm also not sure that fair or unjustified or the opposite of unjustified is necessarily just a neutrality issue. I think it's a broader issue to include things like complete, not misstated, things like that. But that did make me feel, actually I quite liked the idea of unfair here as a sort of overview, but I'm not sure where that would fit. It probably doesn't just fit into neutrality. Maybe there's something else. And that made me ask, are we really saying that this is the totality of the report is supposed to give some sort of a fair presentation? I'm sure that will start a lot of questions. But if it is, where does that fit? I don't think it's just neutrality.
My question as well.
Ben?
I thought I'd take a couple of high-level comments on the sort of other and direction things, and I don't think we'll go back because of the verifiability point I think that's been made. Maybe picking up on Michael's point, how we use these reports, and I do think this regulation and things are different, so I don't think that we can actually do too much about that. But I think the HSBC report, for instance, this year was a few hundred pages, and I asked a lot of my peers how many of us are actually read the entire report, and obviously not a single person had read the report, although I believe one might have been using it quite usefully as a doorstop at home. But actually, quite a lot of us had read the narrative part, the narrative bit on it, conciseness and things, and we can refer to business models as they go along and that, but again, I don't think there's a regulation on that, but how we're using the report. So this management part is becoming really of vitally important. I think you said it in the beginning, most of us will spend quite a lot of time, and this would be a bit that we always go to. And so there's a couple of other aspects in there why investors are really interested in this, and that's because there's a lot of evidence today that 80 or 90% of companies' values, of the value of a company, is in what you referred to right at the beginning, in intangibles, or however you want to define this. There's a lot of academic work on that. And I'd maybe mention two things to maybe think about if some of the staff haven't read, which is kind of proving influential when we're thinking about it, investor world. One is a book by Levin Goo, kind of controversially named The End of Accounting. It's a little bit more dry, but has some of these things and just shows the importance of this. But actually, even practically more practical is a book published right at the end of last year called Capitalism Without Capital, by Jonathan Haskell and Stan Westlake. And they actually build on the work of Levin Goo quite significantly. And it's one of the first things which look at both high-level and company reporting level about how essentially a lot of this intangible area is not very well reported on, but is now crucially important to businesses today. And you hear this in how senior management and C-suite speak about these businesses. So I think this is an opportunity to try and get some of this management commentary part, where actually a lot of this information rules for. Yeah, maybe we can argue about whether metrics and KPIs, whatever you call it, sustainability, ESG, material, not material, will be able to fall in other parts of the section. But regardless of whether they will, the commentary and all the overarching of that will fall in that. And we are increasingly, as investors, seeking out that information wherever we can find it. And if we can find it here, all the much better. If we can't, we will go, as investors will do, to anywhere else that we can get it, and we will scrutinising on that. But because of that trend for intangible, and because of where that is, and because of that other trend of that actually a lot of regulatory stuff in the documents becoming actually less material for us. Mm-hmm. Very few people are reading Statement 11, Note J, anymore in those reports and accounts. And so I just sort of had that as an overarching thing as you go through the research and project to maybe bear that in mind as how we're thinking about investors and why we're coming to it as we do.
When you raise that, is there a particular aspect in the capitalism without capital book that you feel we're not covering off here?
It's almost too large to just actually address in a point, because they actually make a lot of very interesting points, some of which they don't have answers to. But the initial start is it starts with transparency. And so this is why it starts here. And the fact that a lot of this stuff isn't revealed or inefficiently revealed then is somewhat problematic. But there's a lot of things about how you handle innovation, how you handle corporate culture, how you handle some of these things in more detail. So I would have a look at that. And it's resonated. I mean, it became unusually a bestseller because Bill Gates blogged about it 2 or 3 months ago, and he said, actually, this is crucially important for policymakers and everyone to read about, because this is where kind of world and things are going. So at least from that investor point of view, it's kind of interesting, and it touches all of that. I don't think this will be able to capture all of that, but I do think it's kind of a useful thing for thinking of, like, how and why we do think like this.
Okay. Lisa?
Four comments. The first two are quite vanilla. I'm agreeing with things, but I think you need to hear when we agree with things. So I think that the features or the attributes that have been outlined in regard to neutrality on slide 17, I thought were quite comprehensive. My second point, I do agree with the need for guidance on aggregation and disaggregation, with the latter term being used appropriately, as pointed out earlier. My third point, and it's in regard to the point about management commentary in relation to other information provided by the entity, which just rolls off the tongue. I think that this point has already been raised a few times, but it's well worth noting the alarm bells that are going off around the room in regard to that. And it might be very helpful if you clarify the intent here, because there is a fine line between an entity not being inconsistent with other disclosures, and I note my double negative there. So there's a difference between that and and incorporating other disclosures or other material found elsewhere, incorporating that by reference into the management commentary scope. The integrated reporting framework does encourage a layered approach and does encourage connections being made to more stagnant information. To Michael's point, the business model, you know, unless there's a material change, it's not changing year over year. So why clog up the report with that information? Ours is a voluntary approach. And I suppose this isn't quite a problem for the management commentary so far, or so long as it is non-mandatory. But I think that we do run into audit implications, legal implications, when you start incorporating by reference other material into the management commentary. So important that you're very clear on what you're talking about doing here. And finally, I do support additional guidance on the comparability of information, as you kind of ask on page 25, slide 25. I have traditionally viewed consistency as being the internal component and comparability as being the external component, mm-hmm. You know, making comparisons to yeah. industry peers, using the same methodologies that you would find in a given industry. But on slide 25, you actually remind me that a company can compare its actual performance to its previously stated estimates and forecasts. So there is that. There's both an internal component and external to comparability. So that was an aha moment for me. So I'm sure that others would benefit by additional guidance on that.
And then finally, Deepa.
Thank you. So my comment relates to neutrality, and it's in the context of the principle on fair, balanced, and understandable reporting. So in the UK, this principle applies to the annual report as a whole. And when I bring that into this context, I think there's something around the need for linkage or coherence between the management commentary and the financial statements. And perhaps an example in the context of IFRS measures versus APMs or non-IFRS measures is a good example, because that's the one in practice where the balance tends to tip with a positive view on management commentary versus what the financial statements may say.
Okay. Takeaways.
Okay. Don't worry. And an assortment of takeaways there, I think. So I think clearly some of the language we've used has needs to be refined a bit. We're certainly not trying to require forward-looking, forecast trend information or target trend information. The discussion around standing data like business model is an interesting one. On the one hand, you want to provide a bounded whole version of the truth. On the other hand, I understand the point around this can be quite resource intensive. Perhaps that's an issue that is addressed through technology rather than within the scope of management commentary. I don't know.
Sorry for interrupting. Yeah. It strikes me, given the discussion, that this is a question we certainly need to specifically bring to the board for the board's consideration. Just
I think some very helpful points in relation to how the scope of the points we've raised on neutrality, something like time frame, I think is something we need to think about. Also, I note that I think in a couple of places there are observations about use of what's commonly termed boilerplate disclosures undermining neutrality. I look forward to reading Capitalism Without Capital. it got a good review, I know that much. Yes, I think we need to look again at some of the developments in the UK on fair, balanced and understandable. But thank you all for your input there.
Okay, are there any final comments before we go home? Yes, Chris.
I wasn't quite sure where to ask.
Going this. Home for a long time.
So. I'll make this one quick. I wasn't quite sure where to ask this question. So one of the things that I think is really important is to understand, are we going to deal with remuneration issues here? And I think Ben, some of the comments he's made today would be suggesting yes, but I think that would be useful to have a good understanding up front.
I think
in or out.
Question of alignment between strategy, business model, and incentives should have a place somewhere.
Yeah. And I think this sort of narrative coherence idea is a good basic place to pick it up, because it draws on, are there any inconsistencies there? You know, are we setting out a strategy but being remunerated on something else? It can cover those issues without getting into the sort of more politicised element of remuneration reporting.
Because I think that will be a challenge, because it is going to be often specific legislation around remuneration reporting. So I think that'll be one to have a look at.
Yeah. Well, if I may. I think that comes back to your point that we need to be careful of not trotting along that public policy arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about initiatives like Say on Pay, if you think about country-by-country reporting, I mean, there are a number of issues where you could argue probably for hours, are they never financial, or are they financial, or could they have an impact? Certainly they do have a wider public policy element to it, and that makes it difficult in order to draw a fine line and make it even a bolder line as to what is captured by broader financial reporting and what is actually wider financial reporting. I think we have to be quite cognizant of that one.
Yeah, but I don't think that we would want a full-fledged remuneration report, but since remuneration is often based on performance measures, there should a linkage between these performance measures and the as they are described in the management commentary and remuneration, I think, would be well placed. Trent?
Yeah, I was just going to comment the remuneration. If you wanted to do quants on that stuff, you would be very hard-pressed to get it done in time to file with your MD&A and your financial statements. That would be the one concern. Like, if, for example, if you wanted to talk about management comp 2018, you have it done all set by February 14th, 2019, which is our filing deadline next year. You couldn't do it.
That's the look forward. Sorry, is that the look forward compensation?
Well, if you're thinking, if in February 2019 you want to talk about the 2018 comp in total, it's not determined by that.
We're talking about philosophy.
You're talking about, I think, the elements, right, that go into
You don't need to necessarily talk about the outcome.
Yeah. Like, qualitatively, you could do it. Quantitatively, it'd be difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. I think we had a very productive day, and we provided the staff with many very useful suggestions, and the board as well. So I wish you all a very safe trip home and enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and personal thank you from me as well. It's been very helpful.